Hello and welcome to the Stronach 5 Players Podcast. This is our show for the races of Thursday, April 9th. I am your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker. Once again, we start the show with an announcement. The first announcement is just really a tease of another announcement. We are going to be continuing doing shows for the Stronach Group in 2021, but we're going to be doing kind of a new thing. And I can't give you all the details until it's finalized. News will be coming on that. But the downside, as it were, to the new exciting announcement is this will actually be our last Stronach 5 podcast, at least for a little while. We hope to go out on a winning note. To help me do that, bringing in a guest for the first time on these airwaves. You've likely seen him on the InTheMoneyPodcast.com blog, where he's been writing diligently and giving out plenty of winners at Philly Park in the early part of the week. You might have seen him on Twitter at PhillyBoy415. He is Andrew Racinski. Andrew, how are you, my friend?
I am doing well this morning here today. Doing very well.
Where in the world are you located right now?
Philadelphia, 5-10 minutes outside of Parks.
Excellent, excellent. That's great. Is that where you learned the game, presumably?
Oh, yeah. My parents said that I've been basically reading the form since I was a toddler. So, you know, I've been probably picking winners and talent winners since I was about 2 or 3.
We do have a picture of Perrin, my daughter, at that age, holding a racing form. I will point out that it's upside down, but we did place a couple of wagers for her, and she hit not just her first one, but her first two. Hopefully that will come back to serve her well. She can be like you, the next generation of degenerate. Before we jump into the Stronach 5 races on Friday, you had mentioned that you're part of a Discord that covers racing. Now, I kind of know what a Discord is. Don't tell JK this, because he'll surely make fun of me and call me a baby boomer and all that. I kind of know what a Discord is, but I've never participated in one. So for there's probably other uninitiated such as myself listening along. Explain what this racing Discord is that you're a part of, and how people might be able to be a part of it potentially.
Yeah, the Discord is called the Moonshot Headquarters. It's ran by a guy named Kenny, who's also from South Philly, the South Philly area. He has about, I would say, almost 3,000 people in that, and it's mostly sports related, but they have literally anything. You go from the sneakers to clothing to sports to horse racing, everything. And I basically kind of run the whole horse racing section of that, which is, it's free to the public, you know, whatnot. And yeah, it's pretty good, good vibes there. Well, they only have good vibes there, you know. And I've been teaching people about the game, introducing people to the game, and it's all a good community. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Folks wanting to check it out. Is it web based, or is it always an app? I don't even know.
You could have an app. You could, it's on or on desktop. Just, I would say follow, Kenny. His Twitter is Kill Kenny, KIIL Kenny. And then his, the link should be in his bio or whatnot. And it's, you know, just free to join, and everybody will welcome you.
I have to check that out myself. It sounds very cool. And it seems like it stresses positivity, which might differentiate it a little bit from horse racing Twitter.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think guys like the Staggy Man and a couple other people are also in that Discord, too. So, you know, there's a couple people on Twitter that you see around that are also part of the community.
We'll have folks check it out for sure, and hopefully we can get a shout out on there, get some new people listening to this show, because while this is, as I mentioned, our final Stronach 5 show, we got lots of podcasts coming down the pike all the time. Super psyched today. If you're listening to this right away, if not, you can check out the archive, this new Horse Players Happy Hour Tour. Got to get the bunker all set up with the lights and the monitors and everything so we can follow 3 tracks in real time while people play along and have an opportunity to win not only into the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge by traditional means, but also these extra pathways for no extra charge, a tour that you don't have to pay to play, 2 extra Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge seats on the line. Super psyched to get that going. You can sign up for that event over at horseplayers.com, or just check us out at inthemoneypodcast.com if you want to find how to watch and or listen to that archive broadcast. Hoping to see your name in some of those contests as well. Have you dabbled much in the contest world?
Yeah, actually, back in my early days, right as I turned 18, I was playing a lot of tournaments on like Derby Wars and whatnot, but not so much recently. But I am a NHC member, so I do have the membership, so I do dabble from time to time on my days off from work. So yeah, I try
to get you involved on these Thursday afternoons. Another good thing is these are all of the pick and pray variety, so you can do your work at your leisure, put in your picks, $20, the vig goes to charity, and you accrue points along the way. Have a lot of different ways to win in. If you win the whole tour, you get a seat. If you finish in the top two any week and or are one of the top point getters who hasn't already qualified, you get into our playoffs at the end of the year. That's going to be a one-of-a-kind fun contest as well. Encourage everybody to check it out. But let's dive into these races for Friday for the Stronach 5. Things kick off with Laurel Park's eighth race. The scheduled post is 4:45. We're looking at 7 furlongs on the dirt, optional claimers, and starter allowance, mixed condition here on the dirt, of course. And Andrew, how are we going to get this thing kicked off?
Well, I honestly think that the Jamie Ness entry is pretty tough in here. I do have some stats through Formulator today for a couple horses in this race specifically, because this race has some unique trainer stats. For my top choices, I have the combo, like I said, because Jamie Ness right now in the last 30 days, he has had 65 starters, 38% have won, and 77% have hit the money. But yet at Laurel, he's only 1 for 8 and 4 for 8 in the money. So most of these have been at Parks. But both of these horses have ran at Parks and at Laurel recently. And honestly, just off class alone, I think that these horses tower over this field. I don't know if both will run, but I think you'll get at least one of them, and they'll probably be the morning line favorite. I don't know if you can single them, because I do also like number 7 Beyond the Victory, with the fact that he will be on the lead by himself, hopefully, if the jockey can send enough. Like if Crispin can send and get the lead himself, the cut back to 7 furlongs should be all that that horse needs to win. But yeah, those are my A's. Do you also like those A's?
Yes, I do. Especially, I mean, I was thinking you could almost single that entry, because I was thinking they would both run as they did in that recent race. And I feel like there's complementary running styles here. And I thought Shane's Jewel was maybe a little bit better than it looked, having got bumped and lit up at the start last time. I thought with the clean getaway, that one could be very dangerous. And if they go too fast, it should set up for Shanghai Superfly. I don't mind the idea of having a backup in here as well. And I think the 7 is as good as any. Anything else at a longer price you might consider throwing in there? Or do you think we can just get out with the entry in the 7?
I do have 2 B's, but mostly the one of the horses is the one I really like based off of just this unique trainer stat. It's the number 3 Walkaway Joe for Dale Capano. The trainer is 24% in the past 5 years at 7 furlongs out of 96 starters, with about almost half in the money, which is, I thought, was pretty unique because of such a unique distance. And then let alone horses that were claimed by him and also jump up in the price tag by almost 50%. He's 3 for 10 in that. And all 3 wins also came at 7 furlongs. So the fact that this horse is getting claimed first time out for the trainer and switching to 7 furlongs could just be the winning formula for him. And at 6-1 morning line, I don't want to leave off of tickets, but if we're playing a smaller ticket, I would probably not use them. I would probably just go with the entries and the 7. So
I'll leave the 3 in there for now in the mix. Dale Capuano, that's an interesting angle. And I do, we've talked about this a lot on the shows, that there's some distance differences that play in reality like farther than they are. And I do sometimes think that difference between 6 and 7 can play like more than a furlong. And it's logical to me that certain trainers and their styles would be maybe proficient particularly at that. Just for the record, did you mention you had a second B as well, potentially?
Yeah, it was the two horse, Good Luck Chuck. I just think that this horse at 12-1 is very sneaky. He's been in good form as of late. I mean, he was 6-9 in the Exacta in 2020, and he's 1-2 this year. Granted, the win was at Charlestown, but the horse has won 3 back at 7 furlongs for a beaten 16. The same jockey returns today, sadly without the apprentice weight. But I just think that horse could easily surprise if everything just collapses, you know, pace-wise. I think he can sit probably mid-pack and make one run, but I wouldn't use it unless I'm playing a super deep ticket. But at 12-1, it's something you have to look at.
I'll mention as a maybe. Let's move on to leg B in this week's Stronach 5. It is race 8 from Gulfstream, 450 Eastern, a mile on the turf. 4 and up fillies and mares, optional claiming types here. I have always been a fan of number 4, Lashara, ever since it was just about a year ago. She keyed a massive pick 5 hit by a bloodstock agent friend of the podcast who wishes to remain nameless. I was rooting him home that day, have followed her ever since. I feel like she looks to be the best speed and likely needed the last off the break. Lashara has got to be on tickets for me, but I also was interested a little bit in one that maybe the merits were a little bit buried and you get a halfway decent price on the 5, Kelsey's Cross. This looks like significant class release for a runner who's laid down some of the best closing sectionals on offer in this field. I was wondering if you couldn't get out 4 or 5, but there are several others in here. Curious, Andrew, what you came up with.
Yes, I also have the 4 as my A. The 5 is a B, but I do like the 5. I would use it. The other A I have is the 3 horse, Lababia. I think that you can't leave Edwin Gonzalez off any tickets on the turf right now at Gulfstream. He is on fire. But let alone, I think this horse will be forwardly placed and second off the layoff after also winning off the layoff with Velasquez. I just think that this horse probably will be able to improve even more and should have a better performance today off of the win alone. I don't know if it will be able to beat the 4, but the 3 and the 4 are both my A's.
So we got the 4 and the 3 as A's and the 5 as a B in that spot. Anything else, or should we kick it back to Laurel?
I think that should be it. The only other horse that somewhat intrigued me was the 7, Hotsy Totsy, but I watched that replay last time out, and Gaffalione had to get everything out of that horse just to win by a neck, but the horse was game and, you know, responded. I just don't know if the horse will have much left in the tank second time out off the layoff, because that was like a 6-7 month layoff, almost 8 months actually last time out, and I think he used all his, or she used all his energy, or her energy that day in that win alone. So
we'll leave off, but one to keep an eye on anyway that second leg. Let's move on to leg C. Back to Laurel, 5/16 on the dirt, 3-year-old maiden 40s, and we'll let you kick this one off. One note I did want to make on this race is because of the way this sequence falls, you with the Laurel 8 being the first race, you will be able to look into how they're betting in the double probables. So for some of these firsters, I didn't come up with any of the firsters, but if I see in the double that one of them is catching some money, I'll look again and consider throwing in. But who did you have on your top line? Was it one of the firsters or one of the horses with experience?
My top choice was the number 2, the morning line favorite, Portal 1. I love the cutback here.
Agreed.
So I think that this horse would probably be on the lead himself. And I do like Katie Davis coming back down to the Maryland circuit and all that from New York. Sucks that she couldn't make it up there because of the ruling with Trevor McCarthy. But I think this is a good move for her. And I think this is a good way to kick off the return. You know, the horse's workouts have been solid. Not so much the April one, but the ones between or before the return off the layoff. The horse does have a tendency to hang a little bit, so the cutback should be able to benefit the horse. And then the other A I have is Don't Dare Me, the 6. I love the fact that this horse is going to be coming out first time as a 3-year-old. getting LASIKs for the first time, and is also a recent gelding after having back-to-back seconds against similar fields, if not tougher. So I think that that horse with the workout report after probably being gelded before all that, I think this horse is pretty live at 7-2 morning line.
Those are great points about the six. I was thinking it might be as simple as just Portal One for me, but I definitely want the six at least as a B, if not higher, based on that that analysis. Lots of reasons for that one to run better. I don't have much to add with Portal One. Good speed, flow move up coming out of the last, and looks like one that's just crying out for the cutback and overdue to break the maiden. So two and six for right now. I'm very happy with that in here. And again, might get cheeky in some last minute tickets if there's a firster who's taking money. Shall we move on to Gulfstream?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it. We've got leg D, race 9, 5:22 on the turf, about 7.5 for these 3-year-old fillies. This race I was indecisive. I had three I wanted to use. Let's start with the 9, Kate's Kingdom. I felt like this runner did well to close off what looked like a slow pace last time. And then now we get the opposite situation, a race that appears to have plenty of pace to set up a late run. That's why I put the 9, Kate's Kingdom, on top. Number 1, Serenade a Kitten. Now, you know, you don't probably get rich backing X maker runners. Not my favorite angle, but I just felt like thinking about the trips they're going to get in here, and at 10-1 on the morning line, I love the draw for this one and thought maybe could get a stalk and pounce kind of trip. I don't love Serenade a Kitten, but I felt like was likely value. And then speaking of maker, the 4 Italian Twin closed well to win the maiden, well priced on the morning line. I was just thinking I wanted to have as at least a B. Didn't want to get beat by Maker in this spot. I saw it 9-1-4 for Westchester. How do you like this one?
I also have the 9 as an A, and I do agree with all the things you said about the 9. However, the 1 and the 4 are my Bs, and the 7 and the 3 are also my As. So we are a little bit on the same point, but I think that the 3 cutting back in distance and probably being on the lead or close to it for Safi at 6-1 is a horse I wouldn't want to leave off, especially switching to once the horse switched to turf, the whole run style of the horse, the whole form of the horse did a whole form reversal. So this horse is obviously liking the Gulfstream turf. Jaramillo is a very aggressive rider, so he could probably get the lead himself. And I think she's just in really good form, especially as a 3-year-old. This will be her second start as a 3-year-old. Which is and second time LASIX. Both of those angles at Gulfstream I really like. And then the other A I had was the 7 Lalula for Maker, the other Maker horse in the field with Zayas. I think if the pace does collapse, this is the horse. If you're not going to use the 9, this is the horse that you would want.
That all makes sense. You're convincing me. I mean, both those angles are good and worth using. And depending on how we draw up these tickets and how skinny we get in other spots, I think there's a good chance we could use them all. And that's a good point about Jaramillo and trying to have in these situations that look like a collapse on paper, jockeys and their agents read the form too. And it's never a bad idea to have the one you think is likely to be the best of speed on some line, even if you think it's going to be a collapse. So I have absolutely no problem trying to find a clever way to incorporate all 5 of those, honestly, if we can, and just try to bet it in a clever enough way that it doesn't end up being too spready. We'll see when it comes time to put these tickets together. I'll go ahead and do that tomorrow after scratches, as we've been doing. Hopefully we can go out a winner. But this is the race that will determine it. It is Golden Gate, race number 3, 5:27 Eastern on the all-weather, 5.5 furlongs, 3 and up, nickel claimers, non-winners of 2, lifetime fillies and mares. Andrew, I ask you the big question. How are we going to get paid?
I think it's a 2-horse race, and it's between the 2 Moon Rocket and the 7 B Einstein. That's a little tongue twister there. but I like the 2 a lot. It's coming into good form lately. I mean, granted, it's for non-2, 5,000 conditions and whatnot, but Espinoza leaves the 7 for the 5. I mean, for the 2, which is a good jockey decision, I think, honestly. Especially off the layoff this year, the horse had a distant second and then came back and won going gate to wire. I think the horse can get the lead today as well, or at least be close enough to make one run. And then number 7, B Einstein, is also another horse that should be on the lead or close to it. But Evan Roman is lights out this year at 24% ever since switching to Golden Gate. And this horse is coming out a little bit weaker races, but I think that this horse is it's just a 2-horse field here. I think it's 2 and 7, and that's all you need.
I definitely get the 2 and the 7 and had them in the mix, but I'll give you a case, and it's a requires a little imagination, but I'll give you a case for the 6 real keeper to turn the tables on Moon Rocket in this spot, simply because I felt that speed was holding very well when they last ran against each other. And I felt like with other speed potentially in here and real keeper with the outside draw, maybe she can get a different kind of trip, stalking and pouncing with somebody else doing the dirty work this time. So I actually had the 6 as my top choice with the 2 and the 7 in the mix as well. But I mean, again, I think there's probably a world in which we can use all 3 of them to try to get us out here in this last race at Golden Gate. So there you have it. Those are our thoughts on these races. Andrew, we talked about the writing you're doing over on the blog. Folks can check you out there in themoneypodcast.com. They can get with you on Twitter as well, at PhillyBoy415. And then folks interested in participating in that racing Discord, we gave the info as well. What else are you looking forward to coming up in racing this weekend?
Honestly, just my normal tracks that I handicap, and nothing crazy. I'll be keeping my eye out on Keeneland. I am happy that Parks just announced their PA Derby day.
Yes.
For the end of September, which is we didn't have last year. They said they're gonna have 9 stake races that day, which is amazing. And I hope I see some people I know down there come down to Ben Salem and Parks and whatnot. It'd be a fun time. Other than that, I'm just gonna keep my eye on the Masters, just watch some sports and, you know, gamble on my horses, you know, just a normal weekend for me.
I love it. Any tips on the Masters? You got anybody you're
I fancy? I have a little bit of money on Webb Simpson to win the whole thing. From the Discord, they had a little golf show yesterday, so they're all high on Webb Simpson, and I'm a big fan of Webb Simpson, so I put a little bit of money down on him. So
all right,
I hope
a little bit of a root, some action, never a bad thing. And I love that point about the big day at Parks being back. Who knows? Maybe we'll be able to put together some special content for them, or gosh, by then, who knows? Maybe even an event. Maybe we could try to do something live. We'll talk to the team down there and see if we can get something organized. Would certainly love to have you be a part of that. You can tell from reading your writing about Parks, you got a ton of institutional knowledge, and I like your approach in the work you've been doing. So thank you, Andrew, very much for joining us today. I'd also like to thank our friends at the Stronach Group. Again, we'll be back soon with another show we're doing for them. But for this year plus, we've been doing the Stronach 5 show. It's been a blast. I wish we'd hit a few more, but we've had some winners and helped some folks out along the way. Steve Cook has been amazing to work with there. Looking forward to continuing that relationship in another more creative form. Thanks most of all, though, to all of you, the listeners, who've made these shows so much fun to do, commenting along on Twitter or through the blog. It's been great to get to talk a little bit about these Stronach 5s and ticket construction and all that stuff week in, week out. Just because this show's going away, don't worry, tons of content over on InTheMoneyPodcast.com. And again, hopefully there'll be another Stronach show appearing in your inbox soon. Do us a favor, subscribe to In The Money Podcast on Twitter. One last shout out to our friends at the Daily Racing Forum, who all along have been providing those free PPs for the Stronach 5. Probably been remiss in not promoting that more the last few weeks, but they'll be up for this week. I would assume that will be going by the wayside as well. So enjoy them this week, though. drf.com/ITM. Use the promo code MONEY for those free DRF PPs for the Stronach 5. And that's it. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. And one more time, may you win all your Stronic 5 photos.